He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Good Thursday show, I guess, the day before Good Friday. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And I hope you didn't do two things yesterday. I hope you did one thing and didn't. I hope you didn't sell your oil stocks yesterday, as oil's up 13% today. Ouch, to 113. And I hope that you filled up your SUV for your holiday weekend before yesterday, because I got a hunch the gasoline prices are going to spike here. I should have filled up my boat yesterday, but you know, I wasn't. I was busy all day. But here's the thing: the underlying fundamentals of the market remain great. And you know what? Iran could cave tomorrow and say we want to negotiate, and then we're back up 1,200 points. So you just kind of have to ride through some of this and keep your eyes focused. Earnings and the valuations of the market, which are quite compelling, very compelling right now. The Dow is down 483 points today, or 1%. Come on, you can handle that. 46,082. The NASDAQ is down 1.1% today after Trump's speech last night. The NASDAQ's at 21,610. The S&P 500 is down 59 points. That's only 90 basis points to 6,516. Over at the small caps, down 1.3%. The elephant in the room today, and it will continue to be the elephant in the room until the strait by the name of Hormuz finds a solution to that. Oil prices today, last time I looked, up 13%. Where are they at right now? They've come down a little bit. We're only down 11. We're only up 11.2 right now. We're at 111. Little selling into this oil rally here this morning. Gold is down 3.2%. Silver is down 6% this morning. And that all-important 10-year is at 4.33. It's not budging at all. And Bitcoin, which doesn't seem to do well in any kind of market, good or bad, is down 1981 to 66,216. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got Barry Kite, our certified financial planner, chartered financial analyst. He's sharpening his pencil. You ever notice a CFP always has a sharpened pencil in his ear? I have a pen in my white shirt that always leaks in my pocket as a stock picker. That's just my luck. But we, Barry's getting ready, and he's practicing in front of the mirror as we get ready to go to Sarasota next week.
Yeah, we'll be there. I'm heading that way on Monday.
I'm glad I bought my airline ticket before last night's speech. Maybe I saved a little bit. I'm flying down with the two junior analysts. Maybe I'll buy him a black and mahi Caesar salad over there at the Marina Jack. I like sitting amongst the mega yachts, you know. That's always fun. Imagine filling one of those up tomorrow or today with gasoline. Diesel, especially diesel. Diesel is like $7 a gallon or something like that. It's just horrible. You can see how fast things change in the market with a situation that is temporary. Yeah, that's just so, and we saw evidence of what the market wants to do. The market wants to return to its fundamentals, which are unbelievably good right now with the earnings picture and the forward PE. And, you know, you get a little good news on that Strait of Hormuz, and the market's up 1,200 points like it was on Monday. And then it was up again yesterday, tacked on quite a bit more. Or was it down Monday? It was down Monday. It was up Tuesday, 1,200 points. And then Wednesday, it was up again yesterday. And now we're down today. They've got a new ride at what's this thrill park up on our border with North Carolina?
Hang on. Yeah, I'll remember it.
It's a fun one, you know.
It's right on the North Carolina, South Carolina border.
They've got a huge roller coaster there. It's called the Strait of Hormuz, and it's not very straight. It goes up and down, and it dips, and you go upside down and all kinds of things. It's quite the ride, and that's what the market is following right now. And enjoy the ride. I'm just glad the quarter ended on a high note. On Wednesday, did the quarter
Carowinds.
Carowinds.
Couldn't come up with that one. I kept wanting to say Dolly World, but that's in.
They changed the ride from the Big Dipper to the Strait of Hormuz, and it falls, and then it goes up, and then it falls, and they should just name it the NASDAQ. You could do that, too. Okay, we've got a lot to cover here today. I got a lot of teaching to do on today's show. About IPOs. There's a lot of big name IPOs out there. There's more news today on the private credit markets. My thought is, why would you buy private credit when there's umpteen ETFs? BDCs would be a good choice if you want double digit returns with a lot of risk. Because here's the deal, Barry, their ETF is liquid. Now they're limiting another company, KKR, which is a huge, that's Kohlberg, Kravitz, whatever, a huge private equity firm is limiting redemptions. Now there's no limit.
See how much the requests were?
Oh my gosh.
41%. 41% in one fund, and I think in the 20 percentile range for the other, 21.9% for the other fund. So,
well, I made the same argument during the private REITs, the non-traded REITs.
Right.
Why would you buy a non-traded REIT that has liquidity issues when you can buy any number of traded REITs that have immediate liquidity? And the same can be said for private credit. I mean, there's plenty of double-digit returns out there. BDCs, which are the BDC. What does BDC stand for? I can't think of it right now. I'm talking too fast. My mind is worrying. BDCs, or, you know, there's other ones like the BDCs that do something like that.
You're talking about the business development companies.
Yeah, the business development companies, which basically, you know, they're a middleman and a lender to private credit for the most part. And they're publicly traded. There's no liquidity limits placed on them. So anyway, that was just a bad deal all the way around. Well, we had two good days in a row in the market. Yesterday, the AI stocks, the chips did fantastic, and the oil stocks got whacked. Well, guess what? Turn that upside down today. The AI chips and the chips are getting whacked, and the oil and energy stocks are flying today. You've got the Devon Energy, Venture Global, which is
Halliburton,
LNG, which is Cheniere. And then, of course, the inverse funds are also doing well. We still own three, one against private credit, one against Cathie Wood. And one against the Carowind ride called the NASDAQ. Those are our three hedges that we keep in place during volatile times. It's kind of like a shock absorber a little bit. It absorbs some of the shock on these real volatile days. I just feel like that is a prudent thing to have right now. And, of course, cash is another nice hedge that smooths out the ride a little bit. Well, yesterday it was all about de-escalation. Then when he announced he was going to address the nation, the oil futures, that was about late in the day yesterday. I saw oil stocks turn around and start catching a bid at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the AI and the tech stocks start to see a little profit taking. And I think there was a correlation between him announcing that he would be addressing the nation. I missed it. I slept through it. At 9 o'clock last night, and it was all about we're going to blast the heck out of Iran. Don't forget too that's a bargaining chip that he's laying out there. He's putting pressure on them. Look, guys, if you want to settle, it's time to settle. Otherwise, your alternative is ballistic missiles and bombs and F-35 jets, targeted strikes, right. destroying your
bunker
infrastructure.
Bunker busters.
He'll part your bunker in a new place. I used to have a track coach that used to say that. If you don't run these laps, I'll part your bunker in a new place. Okay, Coach Phillip. Oil prices jump as Trump threatens to hit Iran extremely hard. 13%. Now we're up 11% on oil. But one thing I will say, I agree with this guy. He was on CNBC this morning. He's the CEO of APAC Advisory. I guess he's a competitor. Everybody's a competitor. APAC Advisory. He says, you know, what's he mean by open the Strait of Hormuz? Does he want the UK and Germany to do it? Does he want the Arabs to do it? Does he want Iran to charge a fee? There's really kind of hazy what that means right now, and I think that's one of the things we need to get cleared up. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Docs Now show. The other factor here is the probability of U.S. boots on the ground in Iran remains significant, estimated at least 50-50 right now on the prediction markets. Now, the Gulf states
are... as high as 70. I've seen
wow.
A solid 70, I think, on, I don't know, it was either on Kalshi or Poly Market, one of them, I think that was a few days ago, though. So now, I mean, in that sense, at least it's coming, it's came down a little bit.
I guess I just would have a hard time placing a bet on that myself. I mean, you know, look, a horse in the Kentucky Derby, boots on the ground in Iran... I don't know. Gulf
states. It gets a little morbid. I mean, it gets a little morbid sometimes. Where I was like, you know, we were watching the Artemis, rocket launch yesterday.
I saw that. That was awesome.
I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if you go to Kalshi. I mean, I didn't want to look.
Yeah,
it up,
what are the odds of
it
blowing up?
Successful or whatever, you know. I'm a kid that was born. A kid that was in fourth grade during the Challenger, and of course from Florida, so you're used to.
Yeah.
And my mom was a teacher, and there was a teacher lost on that show. So, yeah, it's like I started thinking, I'm like, there's some pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, I went out on the balcony to see if I could see the trail. A lot of times
we can
see those SpaceX rockets from Musk, but I could not see the
Artemis.
It went
straight east. Yeah, the problem was it went straight east this time. We've seen a couple of the SpaceX rockets, like you said, the big one that came through the sky.
Those are pretty awesome.
A few months ago, yeah.
Gulf states said to weigh new pipelines to buy, but, you know, that's not going to happen overnight. But maybe they need to do a permanent solution that just goes around the Strait of Hormuz. So there is that option, too. And obviously, as I said, the AI and the chip stocks are tumbling today. Yesterday and Tuesday, they were the star of the show. We certainly found out. I'll tell you, the one that really impressed me when the market took off was AMD. Wow, it went to 212 just like that. And the memory chip stocks, Micron and SanDisk, I still like those a lot. We have a fresh article out there on Micron, and we have a fresh article out on Argan, which was published yesterday. That is an under the radar stock. Let me tell you, one of the most potent little AGX, and you can go to Seeking Alpha and read that article. You can also, we send out PDFs, too, for people that go to Seeking Alpha and says, you're not allowed. You don't have to be a subscriber, but I think they limit how many free articles you can read on Seeking Alpha. I have no control.
They're in the business of clicks.
I guess. Now, I'm not. I'm in the business of, I don't care.
Information.
There's a guy on there. He is just a click whore. That's what I'll call him. He's a click whore. He didn't care about making money for the people. He cares about making money for himself with the clicks, dramatic headlines. And they're always, 99% of the time, they're negative. Gold and other precious metals fall as Trump threatens to hit Iran extremely hard. I would say this, too. when things look good, which they will eventually, we just don't know the day, maybe after Easter, the gold stocks looked really good on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think at $4,600 an ounce, I do see it getting back up to $6,000. I wouldn't make that my major play in the market, but I do think, and of course, we sold ours for about a 50-60% profit, our GLD and our Agnico Eagle, which really did well, AEM. And I'm looking to maybe get back in. We kept one, however. And that may be a play. Now, you just can't play these commodities on a daily basis. Yesterday, wheat prices were plunging as the Iran war ceasefire may be near. And today, the wheat prices are soaring as no sign of a ceasefire yet. The other one I like here today, talking about Kalshi, recession odds down sharply after a string of better-than-expected economic data. Well, I don't see any recession at all on the horizon yet. And that's going to happen when the unemployment claims start to rise, the job market starts to really cool down, maybe inflation comes back. But the odds of a recession this year were running at about 36%, which I think is ridiculous. Now it's down to 28%.
Well, when jobless claims came in at 202 today.
So yeah.
It was 9,000, decreased by 9,000. It was 11,000 less than consensus. So, I mean,
consumer spending, retail sales. Now, what probably brought down
at that level?
Yeah, the odds of that recession were the talks of a ceasefire. Because those elevated gasoline prices obviously hit the consumer to some extent. We just had retail sales come in very strong. But, you know, that reflected last month. We'll have to see. It's really the month of March that's going to be interesting to see where the consumer came in, where retail sales came in because of the higher gasoline prices. Let's see. Yeah, we talked about the redemptions. And, you know, not only that, you've got Congress involved now looking into this private credit. Why would you create a product that's private and has liquidity problems when there's plenty of publicly traded alternatives available? Well, I know the answer to that because there's a hell of a lot of fees involved for everybody except for the guy that buys it. Apollo Global, their Q1 alternative net investment income estimate is horrible. Their pre-tax alternative net investment income is estimated to be $205 million, minus 6% annualized return on alternative net investments, minus 6% annualized return. And they're one of the biggest producers, and that stock's in trouble, if you ask me. APO and Blue Owl. APO is down 4% today. Now, if you look and say, is there an inverse ETF against the BDCs? The answer to that question is no, because it's such a small little industry. Now, maybe we should call our friends at ProShares and say, hey, guys, you know, why don't you create an inverse ETF against the BDCs that would include also Apollo, Carlyle Group, KKR, BlackRock, and the BDCs themselves? Really, the only way to get an inverse position on this meltdown in the private credit is going short the financial sector, which includes all the financials, the big banks, everything. And that's what we have chosen to do because we think it's going to get worse. Apollo is just kind of the tip of the iceberg right now out there in this private credit. Okay, one more story before we got to go. Oh, no. When we come back, cause this is a big story. I was asked yesterday, Bill, and I've been asked this many times, what do you think of IPOs? We've got some big ones coming up, some of the biggest ones of all time, SpaceX, probably OpenAI, maybe Anthropic later this year. There's a race on there. How about investing in IPOs? More on that when we come back. Rest down.
lacking, talking so much. Anyone play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the word IPO gets people's mouths watering, and, you know, they want to get some of that, and they've heard about some of the great IPOs of all time. Let's get a few terms straight here first, Barry. Number one, okay, the IPO is the last step in the process, right? You've got initial people for 25 cents a share, maybe split adjusted. Then you've got another round of funding that came along at a higher price, and sometimes the early people sell out when that liquidity event happens. And then you get another round of funding, and it just keeps going up and up and up and up, but it's still a private company. And the only liquidity for early investors are the, you know, the funding rounds. And we recently had this funding round on, OpenAI?
OpenAI, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
$2.2 billion, or I don't know, it was a big number.
Okay. So I think those people will do fine, you know, when it goes public. By the time it gets to you, now, your broker may have some shares set aside for clients that are big clients that can get in on the whatever it comes public at. But most of the individual investors, you buy it at wherever it comes,
Once it starts trading. Right, once it starts trading.
And the
other number is, don't forget the number that the company actually gets. So they might, you know, they might get $16 a share, and it creeps up to $32 a share beforehand.
On day one.
Yeah, they're only getting 16 of it. What it means is they priced it too low, but that's another whole part of that dynamic. So.
But the guy that buys it on the day it goes public at the price it opens, that's a pretty low probability of making any money, and it's a pretty high probability of losing a lot of money. And just in general, investing in IPOs over the years, there's two problems. By the time it gets to you, it's way overpriced normally, generally. That's just the way it is. They want to max out as much as they can. And, you know, all these people that were in early, they do just fine. But you're left holding the bag, buying it when it goes public.
You're providing now, the liquidity. So what you're doing there, it's kind of like, it's not much, you know, undifferent than some of the stuff that's happened in private credit. Essentially,
yeah.
They're providing the liquidity to the company for selling their shares.
Yeah, I mean, you're the dummy that's providing the liquidity. Now, what do I have to back this up of the track record of IPOs? Well, there's an ETF called IPO. That ought to be a pretty good source to look at, to compare, to see how it's done over the years. It's been around for 10 years now. The average annual return over the last 10 years has been 8.4%. The S&P has been 22%. Which brings out another problem with an IPO and a company going public. It does not have a track record yet of performance as a publicly traded stock. It doesn't have a track record yet of reporting quarterly earnings reports and comparing that with what the analysts were expecting. You know, I like to see a track record established before. It's like the quarterback in the NFL who's drafted. Sometimes it works out, and you know, all of a sudden he's thrown into the huddle on day one with the NFL team. You know, whereas a seasoned quarterback that's been through the wars over time, You know, you would rather have someone like that. Now, over the last 5 years, it's been a horrible market for IPOs. And I would say this, the vast majority of IPOs over the last 5 years have been crypto-oriented in one way or another. So, what has that led to? If you invested in the ETF IPO, that probably gets a better price than you do. I mean, they're probably at least getting in at the, you know, the pricing before it goes public. You've lost 8% a year over the last 5 years investing in this ETF. And over the last 12 months, you made 12.5%. While the market is 17.2. So you've underperformed the market in a basket of IPOs by a considerable wide margin. You're taking on a high degree of risk because you're buying kind of an unknown quantity in a way, even though OpenAI, we haven't seen their books. We know they're losing billions and billions of dollars. And SpaceX, I got to believe, even though he's got some revenue, I got to believe the bottom line.
You've
got to believe he's losing money out the kazoo on SpaceX. But they're sexy. They're glamorous. They get all kinds of hype. There's news almost every day of a confidential, you know, this and that as SpaceX gets ready to go public. And the little guy at home is licking his chops going, wow, I can retire on this one. Yeah. Well, don't count on it. I won't be buying the SpaceX IPO when it comes public. And wherever it opens up, it's going to open up probably higher than where it's priced.
And the life cycle takes a while to play out. A great example is, you know, go back to Facebook when it first came out. So, you know, it was one of the biggest, you know, at the time, obviously the fervor for the stock. It was, you know, everyone was asking, hey, can we get Facebook? And, you know, the point being is it took a while for that to play out in terms of actually make money for investors. I think if I remember right, it came in around $40 for sale, and then, you know, it kind of dwindled for, you know, a period of time. And then finally, right, they figured out how to do, you know, mobile advertising on the phone and make, you know, get paid. They figured out how to get paid by while you're looking at it on your phone. And this stock has taken off ever since. But you look, I mean, that's a great example of a company that waited a long time to go private.
We had a guy we met with in Santa Clara that had like $40 million worth of Meta. Wasn't it Facebook stock?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And he peels it off a little bit at a time, but he got in before it went public, and he's held on to it ever since. So there are those examples like that, but they're
but it wasn't
few
a quick
and far
game.
Between.
Yeah, and it wasn't a quick game.
No.
What you're going to have, usually you got to, for all IPO investors, figure out when that lockup period, you know, ends. And so there's usually a 90-day period or some period where, you know, folks who already own the stock, and especially insiders and other thing, you know, some of the deal makers can't sell the stock for 90 days or whatever that lockup period is. And, you know, sure enough, when that lockup period, you know, ends, you'll see the stock go down because more shares, you know, eventually hit the market at that
now,
point.
Now, I'll give you an example of when I did buy an IPO. There was one that went public last year called CoreWeave, CRWV.
Yes,
I didn't buy the IPO, but I saw when they reported their first quarter, that's the first glimpse and visibility I got into their recent quarters. And I looked at the sales growth, just the sales growth. It was phenomenal. I'm going to pull it up right now. CoreWeave is a core. Boy, CoreWeave's up today.
Yeah.
Their last four quarters of sales growth, they don't have earnings yet. But when you have sales growth like this, 420% sales up, 207% quarter over quarter, 134% quarter over quarter, and 110% quarter over quarter, I bought into that because, number one, I had now had visibility into their sales, which you don't on the outside when a company is private. Unless you're going to invest in the company, you get a prospectus and all of that. But when I saw those sales growth numbers, I bought into it. And maybe it had been public for a while, and it jolted higher. And you know what? when it trades on just sales growth like that, we cashed in on CoreWeave and got out of it, and then it went way down. And then I got back into it recently in the high 90s. It still has that sales growth, but it has not crossed the line to profitability. Now, when SpaceX goes public, we're going to see the same kind of thing. We're going to see what the sales growth has looked like in the recent quarters, quarter over quarter, and we're going to see how much money it's losing. We'll have much more visibility. I just think the more knowledge you have about a stock before you invest in it, as opposed to a tip at the water cooler, you know, from one of your workmates, that's not a lot of knowledge on the stock. Someone pointed out a good chart to me today and sent me a message. I said, okay, now go look at the track record of this stock and look at the valuation, the five-year valuation, because just a good chart alone and the worst thing to do is to buy a story. SpaceX is going public. It's Elon Musk. That's the story. There's some other major considerations that have yet to come. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now. Show that Carol Wynn roller coaster just, wow, after that plunge, hit bottom, Barry. Now we're climbing back up. We just went positive on the market. Can you believe this? So it just goes to show you the underlying fundamentals of the market are superb right now. And this situation is a temporary situation that vacillates by the day. I think we know the ultimate outcome. I'm guessing that Iran is maybe... Look, when the president takes to the national airwaves and addresses the nation and says, I'm going to bomb the heck out of these guys unless they come around, that's a pretty strong message. And I have to believe that they may be responding to that message and maybe knees buckling a little bit. I don't know. But something has turned the market around here all of a sudden, and you probably got oil prices dropping again. So it's that roller coaster we're in, and that's why you have to cut through the noise in the market from time to time, and you have to go down to the earnings picture, the earnings, earnings, earnings. That's key. Real estate is location, location, location. Get a water view if you can. Get into good school district if you can. In the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. And that's one of the issues I have with IPOs. Most of them don't have earnings, earnings, earnings. They might have sales, sales, sales. But at the end of the day, you better get earnings eventually. And that's why I like to see some visibility into those earnings. Okay, the Lilly pill, that's a big deal. I think that's going to provide them with growth for many, many years to come. I think it lowers their cost to mail out in a nice chest, the GLP, and a shot, a needle. You know, you look like a junkie shooting up your GLP-1 so you don't overindulge it on one of those McDonald's, those new burgers they got. The Arches, what is it, 1,200 calories?
Did you say Arch Deluxe? What was it, the Arch Deluxe? What'd you call it?
Yeah, I had an Arch Deluxe. It had no flavor. It was $12. And I'm hearing that Burger King upped their game. They redid the Whopper. I haven't tried that yet. My next trip to Pawley's Island, I'll try one out. You know.
Yeah, you got that one on the right coming back to Charleston. Yeah, I saw where they reinvented. Essentially, they were taking it back. They were taking it back to the getting back to the Whopper. So, apparently
the original Whopper.
Right. So we'll see it.
Remember Coke. What was it? Now they had
Right. Yeah, Coke Classic. New Coke and Coke Classic.
That went over like a lead balloon. GLP-1's pill, it's scalable. They've already got these pills made. They're ready to go out. I got to believe that their subscriptions are just going to skyrocket. Tesla falls short of Q1 delivery expectations. Tesla's got a car problem, big-time car problem. What's he going to do to that stock? It's in a bad number 4 downtrend. We don't own Tesla. We sold it. It broke support. We have lines in the sand. I like Elon Musk. I think he's one of the great innovators of all time. He's probably going to have to put his AI into the Tesla stock, part of SpaceX, I don't know, something, because he's got a real car problem. His sales are plunging, and his earnings are plunging as America and the world's appetite for electric vehicles is not what it once was. But he'll figure something out. I mean, he's the kind of guy that he'll put something in there in Tesla, the company Tesla, to pep that thing up. But in the meantime, you know, like I say, he's got a big car problem that is sinking the stock right now. Okay, now, everybody's out with their best ideas. My two for this year, last year I had one, Palantir. It was the biggest winner in the S&P 500 last year. This year, on December 31st, I put out Micron, MU, and Lilly, LLY. Those were my two. And I watched what other guys and other analysts do. This is the one that caught my eye today. Evercore. Constellation Brands is added to their best idea list. It's one of Evercore's top picks for 2026. I can't imagine a worse stock to be a top pick. That's just me. The 10-year, this thing is lost. The stock has been going down for 8 years now. Constellation Brands bought all of these big breweries for a premium price. They bought Ballast Point in San Diego, which I knew a lot about, for $1 billion, craft brews. And now there's millions of craft brew brands.
And I haven't seen Ballast Point since, which is funny. It used to be unique in their own way. But.
Yeah, Sculpin and Calico and all of, they were named after fish, local fish that I fished for off of the Pacific Ocean. They did come along with the clear, the other.
Oh, the seltzer. That was kind of their growth engine for a minute, and then that became a saturated market as well.
Well, the track record is horrible. 10 years, you've made 1% a year, market 22. Okay, well, you say, well, it's got to be dripping with value. No, I show no growth at all anymore. You've got a stock that maybe has 40% upside potential over the next 5 years, but that's one of their top picks. So everybody looks at the market differently, and that's why I play the song. You got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. I do believe in free agency and free agents and being able to choose. But I also say choose your gurus wisely. There's a guy on Seeking Alpha. He's just sickening. He is 99% negative every single day, no matter what the condition. And I commented on his article yesterday. I said, have you looked? I said, the S&P is expected to make $370 next year in earnings. A 20 multiple gets us back to $7,400. What do you think about that? That looks pretty good to me. I don't know if he responded or not, but he just wants clicks. That's all he wants. He's a clickbait machine. We're out of time to get a seat to with us, a one-hour session in Sarasota, or the workshop Tuesday night at 7 at the Even Hotel. in Lakewood Ranch, 855-611-BEST, to get the newsletter, the app, the live trades coming to your inbox. Go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We try to maintain a level head through very unlevel times. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Have a great Friday. Have a great Easter.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.